So my tablet, which has got everything I need for you today, was nearly flat and put a little anxiety in my heart to that it might conk out midway and I'd not have what I need. So and then the charger wouldn't work and it was sorry, there we go. Oh, we're beaming. Sorry about that. If I can get it to work, come on. Come on. This one. Alrighty. Let's pray first, eh? Dear Lord, we just give you glory and praise today, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and we thank you, Lord, for what you have in store today, Lord. And I just pray that you would speak through me and that the arrow would hit the target, and I know this is a word you've given for this season right now. So, Lord, I just want to see you glorified this morning and let your anointing flow in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty. Oh, I tell you what, this word is exciting, right? So, this morning there's been a number of confirmations, so which is great for me because I think, oh, is this something that I'm just pulling together and trying to make happen and force it to go the way that I think it should, or is this divinely inspired? Is it what God wants to say to you right now, today? And I believe it's the latter, right? It is just so spot on. So I'm excited, and I just really thank the Lord that He's gonna be the agent. I'm just gonna be the conduit, and He's just gonna come through. And you guys are going to hear what he wants to say and not any fluff or bubble in the way. So let's look at Psalm 144. First of all, this is David, Psalm 144. And it says, "Praise be to the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold, and my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me." We'll skip down to verse 9. "I will sing a new song to you, my God, on the 10-stringed lyre. I will make music to you, to the one who gives victory to kings, who delivers his servant David." You know, he delivers you. Let's say that and put your name in there. Who delivers his servant. And let's try that again. Everyone all together, okay? This is audience participation. We're in verse 10. With me. Who delivers his servant. Yes. Good job, Tamo. He delivers you. He's your deliverer. Amen. "From the deadly sword, deliver me, rescue me from the hands of foreigners whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful." We're also going to look at Colossians 3. Can we flick over to Colossians 3, verse 1, just one verse in Colossians 3. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. Amen. Did I give you the title? Tune up to get up. All right. It's exciting. I tell you, it's exciting. Okay, so now, the basic foundations that I've come to know as a Christian, that we are three parts, right? We are body, we're soul, and we're spirit. Straightforward, simple stuff. And we know what our body is. It's our physical body. It's got all the physical components which medical people study and know how to fix us. Our soul, right? Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. Another three. And it's a combination of those three. And then our spirit is the supernatural part which connects through God and with God. But there's just one matter which I've always been confused about and never really sure, and that's the matter of the heart, right? Because people, we talk about the hearts and we talk about your heart for people. You have a heart for someone. Your heart is in the right place, or you have a heart of gold, right? We've heard of these things. We know what they mean. Heart of gold. You've got a good heart, and a good heart. It's funny, you know, some people would make excuses for people's indiscretions because he's got a good heart, right? He's got a good heart. And that sort of excuses whatever it might be. A brave heart. He had a brave heart. Close to your heart. You might lose heart. Your heart aches. My heart aches for you. It tugs on the heartstrings. There's so many cliches that we use about the heart. Heart of stone, broken heart. Your heart is set on it. Have a heart. Take heart. Change of heart. And all these things. And so I'm like, well, as a Christian, where does that fit in with mind, will, and emotions, or body, soul, and spirit? And is it just a cultural thing? Is it just the cultural thing to use those terms and to talk about your heart, and maybe it's not really it doesn't give much weight as a Christian, but the Bible talks about the heart as well. So that's where I'm like, okay, it's not just people, it's not just culture. Straight up in Genesis, you know, it talks about man's evil heart, and it talks about God's grieved heart, and Pharaoh's hard heart, and it goes on and on and on throughout the Bible. 598 times it talks about the heart. And so it's a big part of what, who we are and what we do. Okay, so how does the heart fit in with my framework about how I understand who I am and how I see God and see Christianity? And your heart is entrenched in your will and emotions. So your heart directly influences your will and directly influences your emotions. Those two things come together as your heart. And it's so powerful, you know, that's what God's designed us to be. He's designed us to have that heart component of our being. And the trouble is with the heart is that it can be unreliable, right? It's not necessarily something that's spot on all the time. Anyone tried a diet? Yeah, right? So in our heart, we can determine that we're going to be strict. This is relevant for me, right? Because over the last few weeks, I've been trying to lose a bit of the pudding on front. So diet is relevant for me and Ange, by the way. She's my teammate. We're charging together. And so our heart, we're like, yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be strict. I'm not going to eat that much. And just before mealtime is when you have the most determination, right? Okay, this is it. I'm going to do this. And then so quickly, your heart can change and say, oh, it's all right, just a little bit. That was so nice. I'll have just a little bit more. And you smell something and you think, oh, the shake that I was going to have doesn't appeal quite as much as the delicious meal that the kids are going to eat, and I want some of that and not some of that, right? So our heart swings from one side to the other so quickly. Exercise is the same, right? So another thing, I'm putting in a bit of an exercise regime, and you can be motivated and you can get out of bed and it's tough and it's hard. You're like, nope, I'm going to do this. Put your shoes on. You go and get started, and within 30 seconds, you're like, yeah, that's enough. Let's quit. Sit down. That'll do. And so quickly, our heart is like swings the other way and takes us away from these things which we know are good and things that we want to do for ourselves, and yet our heart is taking us in the wrong direction that we don't want to go. Even David in the Bible, right? From this very same heart, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name." He had a heart for worship for God. He wrote the songs to God. He was all heart for God. And yet, from the same heart, he said, "Go get that woman, Bathsheba. She's not my wife, but bring her to me because I want to be intimate with her more than I want to be obedient to God." This is his heart taking him in the opposite direction. And from the same heart, he had great praise and worship and adoration for God, and yet he had great problems which he brought into his house and into his life. And in Matthew 18 talks about the servant who was forgiven much. You know, it's the same thing. You know, he was so grateful and humbled that the master forgave him so much, and his heart was just overwhelmed with gratitude. And then the very next minute, he's down the road chasing down old mate who owes him $5 and throws him in prison, right? So from the same heart, we can have one very good perspective on our situation, and then from the other heart, it can also give us a totally different perspective. And so it's their heart is unreliable. And our culture has a very different definition of the heart than Scripture. The culture says your heart is something that you obey, because they say follow your heart in every situation. Just follow your heart. Follow what your heart wants. Give your heart what it wants. But Scripture says the heart is the center of our internal life, center of our internal life. Our will and emotions are central and key to who we are and what we are and what we hold on to and what we hold dear, and our ability to be excited, to love, to have passion, to have a conscience, you know, from the heart. It's capable of such great generosity, you know, our wisdom, our courage, all these things as essential part components and things that come out of our heart, and we need our heart for these things. But Proverbs 4 says, from the heart flow the issues of life. So guard your heart and keep it. You know, that's very different to follow your heart, right? Guard your heart is very different to follow your heart, because your heart leading you is a limited resource. At one point it's good, it's leading you in the right direction, but in the very next minute it can take you off course and lead you the wrong way. Because sometimes, you know, as a Christian, we can feel like following Jesus and then suddenly we don't feel like it. We feel like forgiving, you know, yes, I'm going to forgive that person, but then suddenly we don't, and our heart is taking us in both directions. You know, we feel like turning the other cheek, but then some people just need a good, you know, it's just, I believe God for my provision, right? We're believing for God, and then we go buy a lotto ticket. We're determined in our heart. We're going to church this week, we're going to church, and then you check out the weather and it's going to be hot. And our heart kind of, you know, it's just unreliable. And you can't trust it. And so to follow your heart, we're in every situation, it's not going to be where God wants us. You know, in Galatians 5, it talks about walking by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And our heart is easily moved by the flesh. And so if we it can be moved by the Spirit and follow the Spirit, but it's not, God wants us to stay there and not be swinging from one side to the other. So, going over to Colossians 3 verse 1, if you've still got it open. Since then, you have been raised. Is that past tense, present tense, future tense? Past tense. Since then, you have been raised. You have been raised with Christ. We know that Christ died for us, right? He died for you. He died on the cross for you, that you might be raised with him. It's past tense. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts. Set, past, present, future. Present. Set your hearts. It's an active word. It's a doing word for now. It doesn't say, since you've been raised with Christ and you had your heart set on the things above, it says, since you have been raised, now set your hearts. It's saying your soul can be saved, but your heart still needs to be set. Your heart needs to be set. And you don't give your heart what it wants. You don't follow your heart. You don't give your heart whatever it wants, because that's not setting your heart on the things above, as it says in Colossians. You know, you don't do that with your kids, right? You don't give your kids what they want. You don't give them the sharp kitchen knife or the scissors, because they'll cut themselves up and there'll be blood everywhere, or you don't give them what they want. You watch your kids because you love your kids. Your kids are not the enemy. Neither is your heart. Your heart's not the enemy. When God found David, he found a man after his own heart, after God's own heart. And that's what he's calling us to be, after his own heart. He wants you to feel him in your heart. He wants you to praise him in your heart. And yet your heart still needs to be set. So I've been raised with Christ. He's given us a new heart. We have a new heart in Christ. And the word, it speaks of a stony heart and a heart of flesh. He's given us a heart of flesh. What was once a hard heart is now a soft heart. He makes you new on the inside, but we still need to be set. We need to be active in setting our heart. But it's not a default setting, right? You know, on your devices and different things, you have a default setting where you can set it and forget it, right? We can't set our heart and forget it, because a heart is a heart of flesh. It's soft. It's not a hard heart. It's not by the law. It's not legalistic. It's not type in the details and save it and then it's done. It's an ongoing thing where you need to take responsibility for your heart. You need to own it and make the decision to set your heart. If you don't do it, the devil will. If you don't set your heart, disappointment will. If you don't do it, stress will. All these things that we go through in every daily life are going to put your heart in a different place to where it should be, which is on the things above. Your heart's not an enemy to be hated, but it's not a leader to be obeyed and followed. Your heart is actually a liar. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful. This is why my heart can't be a liar, a leader. It's a liar. We don't need a liar for a leader in our life. But our heart is also an incredible asset. It's how God touches me. It's how I have compassion for others. It's how I can love someone deeply. I can have passion and motivation and enthusiasm and strive to achieve. It all comes from the heart. If you don't have that heart motivation, if you cast your heart out, then it's very you're not going to go where God wants you to go. So it's not my enemy, it's not my instructor, it's actually an instrument. Going back to Psalm verse 144, praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. You know, we know David, right? He was he fought Goliath very early, but he was also a warrior, soldier, a mighty man in the army. He fought many battles, and he was and when he wrote this, he's probably thinking about all the battles that he's fought, and particularly with Goliath. You know, he had the sling and five smooth stones, and any one of us couldn't be effective like he was in overcoming that giant and having the victory, because he was trained. His hands were trained. He had been trained by God, who'd prepared him for that battle. He didn't know that was coming up. He didn't know that it's not like a competition where you train for and you prepare and you get ready. He was just taking some cheese and crackers to the boys down at the battlefield, and then he was thrust into the step forward into the battle. But God prepared him. God gave him the training. God taught his fingers how to work with that sling. He taught how to use that weapon, and he was trained to kill lions and bears, and so he was prepared for the battle by God. He was prepared for fighting the good fight. But you know, as much as God trained him, God's also fighting for you. He's training you and fighting for you. God's bigger than your situation. Whatever it is that you're fighting today, God is fighting for you. He's there with you. He's prepared you already, even though you didn't know it was coming. You didn't know what was happening, but God is preparing, has prepared you for today, and he's preparing you for tomorrow, for the challenges and fights that are coming your way, because he knows that with him, nothing, all things are possible. Amen? All things are possible. So David, in this psalm, he changes the language. He goes from fighting and the battle, but he changes to a softer loving. He's my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. I will sing a new song to you, my God, on the 10-stringed lyre. You know, the 10-stringed lyre is like a harp, right? It's a stringed instrument, and it's what David would sing to the Lord on a stringed instrument, which is very important. In the middle of the battle, he says, deliver me, rescue me from the hands of foreigners whose mouths are full of lies, whose right hands are deceitful. You know, everyone is in a battle of lies. Everyone here, everyone that can hear this, it's a battle of lies, because there's constant lies that originate from the enemy that are sown into our heart, right? We might think often to ourselves, I can't do that. I'm not confident with that. God is my provider, yes, but I don't know. A doubt, insecurity, all these things are lies that are constantly with us. We're always constantly fighting the battle against the lies that the enemy has dropped in our heart. But David fights lies. He's in the battle of lies. Though the foreigners whose mouths are full of lies, he's battling those lies, and he fights the lies with the lyre. He fights the lies with the harp, the stringed instrument. I will praise you on a lyre from my heart, the stringed instrument. He will praise God with that worship of his heart, the stringed instrument. Your heart is a deceitful lyre, not to be a leader, but it's also a musical lyre, a stringed instrument for praise and worship to glorify God. All right, I've got a little illustration for you, which is going to help you understand. Paul, can you jump up, please? Didn't Paul do a great job this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. I might have been a bit too loud and drowned him out. Sorry, mate. Grab your guitar and jump up, mate. If you can just play Jesus at the centre, just the first verse through and through. Oh, sure. Sorry, we've got to wait for the technology to sync up. But Paul's got an instrument, a stringed instrument there. It's a guitar. It's an Ashton guitar. Now, I don't know a lot about guitars because I'm not a guitarist, but I know a little. And Ashton's it's a reasonable brand. It's not the most expensive, but it's reliable. And we know this morning that it's effective for praise, right? It does. It is effective for great praise, and it works for praising God and giving him glory. And so when we praise God in our heart, like Fiona was saying, we lay down ourselves on the altar. We make the sacrifice of praise. And when we praise God in our heart, we're getting in tune with him. We're tuning our heart with God. And it's amazing when you're in tune with the heart of God or the voice of God. Can we hear that? It's coming. You know, just listening to the music, it's just harmonious, it's worshipful. You know, when I'm in tune with God, when I'm in tune with you, Lord, I don't have to fight so much. When I'm in tune with you, Lord, I don't have to strive so much. when I'm in tune with you, Lord, I don't have to defend myself. You fight my battles. When I'm in tune with you, Lord, my problems look small. When I'm in tune with you, Lord, all things are possible. When I'm in tune with you, Lord, I can scale a wall. The giant looks like an opportunity, not a problem. When I'm in tune with you, Lord, I'm able to laugh at what used to make me cry. And I'm able to cry and know that tears don't last, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? When I'm in tune with you, Lord, you make my path straight. We don't need to use our sling as much if we use our strings a bit more. You in tune with God is powerful. It's powerful. That's where we're overcomers. That's where we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, when we're in tune with the Lord. And, you know, and Paul's playing the last song we sang, Jesus at the centre, right? And this is us in our daily life, you know. Jesus at the centre. Jesus is at the centre. And it's all good, and it's worshipful, and we're on the right track, and we're following what God would have us do. But then suddenly we might get distracted over there, and the devil comes along, and he plays with our tuning, right? And it doesn't quite sound right. And we might not realise. We don't know what the devil's done because we're still playing our song. We're still playing along. We're doing life. We're doing what we need to do. We're cruising along. And we're doing what we need. We're trying to do everything right, but we're like, something's not right. What's happened? God, where are you? God, why have you left me? Where are you, God? Where are you in this? And then we think, oh, I really want to follow Jesus now, but it doesn't sound quite right. I don't know if I'll do that this way. I might do it a different way. I don't know if I'll come to church today because I just don't feel like my praise is right. It doesn't sound right. I don't know if I'm worthy. And your heart has gone from tuning to detuning. It's no longer where it was, because it's not a set and forget. It's not a set and forget. Guitars, they go out of tune all the time. Every time you go to use it, you've got to tune it up, right? Every time you use a guitar, it's got to be tuned. You take it from this room to that room and it'll go out of tune. Your environment determines the tuning on the guitar. You go from a warm room to a cool room or vice versa, and that environment changes the tuning. You've got to get it back in tune. And so our situations that we go through, every situation that we're in can change our tuning in our heart. Every breath that we take, everything that we see, every external thing where the devil can put a seed in our heart, it affects our tuning. And then we're off. We're off key. We're out of tune. We're not seeing that worship and that glory. As much as we determine and want to, if we're hanging on to that lie, we're hanging on to that thing that the enemy has put in us and sown in our heart, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And, you know, knowing a small amount about guitars, you can use, if you know there's one string that's out, you can use the other strings to tune it, right? So sometimes internally we can look at ourselves and say, hey, something's not right. Yeah, okay, we can tweak that. I can rebuke the lie and we can move forward. But the problem is, if the other string that you're tuning from is out of tune as well, then you're going to continue to be out of tune. You're not going to resolve the problem of being out of tune because it's still out. But, you know, sometimes we can get out of tune and we think, oh, this isn't working. This isn't right. I need a new guitar. Throw it away. I need a new guitar. There's a problem with the guitar, you know. I need a new job. there's a problem with the job. I need a new spouse. It's her problem, right? Something's wrong there. I need a new church. Something's not right there. I need a new church. It's just not in tune with me. It just doesn't gel with me. And but before you chuck it, you've got to tune it. There's nothing wrong with a good guitar. The guitar's fine. It just needs a little bit of a tweak. And we think that we've been saved. We get saved. You know, Jesus died on the cross. We accept his sacrifice. We take it for ourselves. And like it says in Colossians, you know, we were saved. But our heart is not set at that point. Our heart needs to be continually set and reset and reset. The guitar doesn't come in the box, preset, ready to go, and you're good to go. A stringed instrument needs to be tuned every time. Every time, every situation you're in. Every situation you're in, you need to tune your heart. You need to tune your heart and make sure, hey, am I in tune in this situation? Am I in tune with what's going on here? And it might be a big new season, like a big new job, or you might have moved house, or whatever it is, a new season that God's brought you into. You know, it might be a season of abundance, but you bring your poverty mentality into that abundance, and God's not going to be able to use you the way he wants to use you. You need to say, hey, am I calibrated? Am I tuned for this season where God's brought me to? Am I tuned? Am I ready to move forward where he wants to take me? Am I tuned in? You know, it means a lot to me because I've questioned the same things in my life. You know, I've been in my heart. I've been so motivated and passionate for God and to walk in what he wants me to do and where he wants me to go. But then so easily the busyness of work or other things in the other room where you walk into and you just get burdened and distracted and the enemy uses all that stuff to take you away from what you determined in your heart to do. And so it's easy to become detuned because the busyness of life, it does it to all of us. Every time, you know, we're just flat out, you know, we don't have time to get read our Bible because I've got to get up and I've got to check that email and do that email or I've got to do this other thing. And so it always comes at a cost of God, right? God's the first one to pay the price in our life. He's the first one that we cut out when things get busy. Instead of being the first one we turn to as our source, he's the first thing that gets cut out. Our prayer, our Bible reading, our worship through the week. That's the stuff that drops away when your head is full of all the other things that you've got to carry. And your tuning just goes out of whack. Out of whack, straight away. You know, Peter was one who he was passionate and he was all for God, all for Jesus. I'm with you, Jesus. I'm doing it. Let's go, let's go. But he easily got out of tune. Jesus said, come to me on the water. Yeah, no worries. I'm coming. Yeah, I'm believing. And then he starts to sink, you know. Put your hand up if that's happened to you. Yeah? Yeah, you're walking where God wants you. Yeah, I'm believing by faith. I'm believing by faith. God's got this. And then what happens? Yeah, we get distracted. We start looking at the waves. We start looking at the water. We start thinking, how's God going to do this? I don't know. Maybe I might have to do something. Maybe I have to go and pick something up. Maybe I have to go and do the work. And we lose sight of God in our situation, don't we? Our heart is the lyre that we worship God with. Our heart is the stringed instrument. But it needs to be tuned to truth, right? Tuned to truth. not to what the world says. Not tuned to what our friends say. Not tuned to what our family says. You know, if your family tells you one thing and it's not what God says, then the family's wrong. It's tuned to truth is where we need to be. You know, the enemy just detunes us in so many ways. And if we listen to our heart, that's when we want to quit. That's when we want to give up. That's when we want to lash out. We want to sink further. But, you know, Jesus does tune-ups. Jesus is the one who can tune us up. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We need to tune to the truth, not the defaults that we carry. We carry default settings, out of the box, out of tune, defaults. You know, our family or our culture, every family unit has some form of dysfunction, whether you like it or not, or know it or not. There's dysfunction there which is carried on from generation to generation. And sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's not. But every family culture that you grow up in thinking is normal has some form of dysfunction and detuning of your heart. And so if you go back to your family and say, hey, what should I do in this situation? And if they say, oh, we've always done it like this, or we've always done that, and you should do it the way we've always done it, then there's no accuracy in that. It's like trusting in your heart. It's God. If they say, why don't you pray? Why don't you see what the Word says? That's tuning to truth. In that situation, you're tuning to truth and not what the culture might be saying to you. Traditions of what people say. You know, it's traditional that we do it like this. It's traditional that we do that. You know, the defaults, the lies that we've been told about who we are. People might have spoken that over us. People might have said that to you. You're never going to do that. You're never going to achieve that. You can't do that. You don't have the guts. You don't have the strength. You don't have what it takes. You're too weak. You know, we hold on to those lies. We put them in our heart, and our heart becomes the liar, the deceitful liar, not the musical liar. Legalism, our subjective experience. Oh, well, last time it happened like this, so I'm just going to hope it goes like that again. But it's not the truth. Your truth is not the truth. And so tuning our heart is like tuning the guitar. We can't rely on ourselves to be accurate for tuning. Just like we can't rely on the guitar to be accurate for tuning. So with the guitar, what do? We go over here. This is a keyboard, digital instrument. It doesn't go out of tune. It's a different source. So the guitarist needs to turn to another source to find the tuning for his guitar, right? So we come over to the keyboard. And before we had little tuning things on that go on the guitar. This is new technology. It's very fancy and easy and convenient. But we always, like when I was young and playing at church, the guitarist would turn to the piano. Give me a D. And so you're playing down and the keyboard is playing up. And so the piano, the keyboard, doesn't tune down to the guitar. The guitar tunes up to the keyboard. You need to tune up. Who knows they need a tune-up? Who knows they need a tune-up? You've got to look up to tune-up, right? You cannot tune yourself from yourself. You've got to look outside of who you are. You've got to look up. You know, He is our source. He is our source to get our heart in tune. You know, it needs to happen on an ongoing basis. We need to be tuning ourselves on an ongoing basis. And the guitarist, he tunes his guitar all the time. It might go out during the song and he'll tune it. He can hear when it's out and he can tune it. And the professional guitarist, I thought about this, right? Tommy Emmanuel, anyone seen Tommy Emmanuel play? Amazing, right? Amazing. His hand is so fast playing that guitar. Maybe his hand's going so fast he's actually doing a little tune as he goes. You know, the professional guitarists know that the strings go out of tune so easily. And, you know, that's what we need to realize. Our tuning goes out so easily. Our tuning, it can be one little word, one little thing that we hear, one little thing that we see, one little seed that's sown. It just puts our tuning out so easily. And so we need to be aware and ready to retune our heart. Retune our heart. Not let our heart be the last thing on the list that we focus on in the day, right? Don't let your heart be the last thing and you come home and you're tired and your heart's out of tune and then you're trying to give praise to God to function in your house, to be leader in your house, but your heart's out of tune. Nothing goes well. David says in verse 9, I'll sing a new song to God in the 10-string lyre. I'll make music to the one. I'll sing in tune with the one God, the truth. So I'm going to tune up. I'm going to tune up. I'm going to go higher. I'm going to tune my heart. I'm going up to the one. I'm tuning to the one who's my source, the one who gives me the victory, the one who is my deliverer. I'm looking up. It's time to look up. It's not to look around at our circumstances. It's not time to see all the problems that are going around. It's time to change our vision and look up to get that heart tuning so that we can walk forward, so we can move forward, so that we can get up. You know, we can't get up and we can't walk in what God has for us without being in tune with Him. We can't be hanging on to the wrong notes and expect God to move in our life and walk into the things that He has for us. We can't be hanging on to the wrong song or the wrong key in our heart because, you know, the devil has laid that lie and we haven't rectified that problem in our heart and what we believe. We hold a grudge, unforgiveness, all these things which hold us back and keep us bound. You know, He is the key. He is the truth. He is the way. We have to get in tune with God so that we can get up and then we can walk to where He wants us to walk. You know, it's time to get up. It's time to get up. You know, for so long, the church has been asleep. The church is slumbering. We don't want to be the foolish virgins who've got no oil when the bridegroom comes. It's time to stand up. It's time to get up. And there's no way that we can get up and move in God if we are out of tune. You know, we're not going to see God perform miracles through us. We're not going to see God touch other people if we're out of tune. We're not going to be able to be effective in the kingdom if we're out of tune and asleep and focusing on other tunings, other things around us, following our heart, going this way and then going that way. You know, God can't use that. We need to be in tune. We need to tune up. We need to tune up to then get up. We've got to tune up to get up. You know, now is the time to wake up and get up. You know, the world looks hopeless. From a Christian perspective, there's wokeism everywhere. It just looks hopeless. Where's God in the world? You know, He's not in the world. He's in our hearts. He's in us, and we need to take Him to the world. And I know it's easy to be despondent and think, oh, what can I do? Where's God? What I want to see God move, not, you know, and because the world is so overcome with the anti-Christ nature of the what we see out there. You know, the Western world is just full of everything that's ungodly. But, you know, the armies of the Lord are preparing for a battle. There's a roar of God's powerful armies coming to take back what the enemy has taken, to take back the lost, to set a new standard in this world. It's happening. It's happening now. If we can all stand together, you know, now is the time when things are going to turn around. This, we're going to see over the coming years. Thanks, Paul. Coming years, we're going to see a change. We're going to see something happen. And And you think, well, how do you know that? How do you have confidence in that? Well, I've seen a number of sources where they talk about the Generation Z that's coming through, particularly the young men who are in their late teens now, are the most conservative group, most conservative generation that we've had in over 50 years. So there is a strong movement that's coming through in the young people who are looking for validation for masculinity. They're sick of seeing the emasculation of men. They're sick of seeing masculinity being devalued, and they're looking for validity. And woke doesn't do that. Woke only puts men down and condemns them men, but they're wanting to see that validity. They're wanting to have the approval to want to be strong, to want to be courageous, to want to be bold. They want to be leaders, and they want to stand up. And so God is going to use them to move in our communities and in our culture. And there's going to be a massive change. You know, they are rejecting the woke feministic attitudes that are on every TV ad, every TV show, every movie. You see this conditioning beliefs, and that is all going to turn around. And now is the time that the church needs to step up, needs to get up, needs to tune up and be in tune with God so that we can be effective in reaching these people, effective in changing hearts and turning hearts, because they're ready. They're ready to hear what God has and what God believes and what we stand for in God. They're ready to hear. So we need to be ready to move. And if we're out of tune, if we're resting, if we're sleeping, if we have no oil in our lamp, then we are not going to be effective for God. We're not going to be effective in reaching people. And you might say, well, I'm a bit tired and I don't really want to reach people. But, you know, that's not what the heart of a Christian is. The heart of a Christian is to see the kingdom of God. We want to see his kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see God glorified in this place, in this world, in our environment, in every part of our life. We want to see God move. We don't want to see all the other rubbish that is anti-God. We want to see God glorified. And you know, you see when you see a Christian movie or you see some God element, and where normally you're exposed to all this other garbage, and then your heart leaps when you see God glorified and you hear God glorified. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to be glorified in this place. He's going to be glorified in the world. And so we need to be ready. We need to be tuned up, and we need to be ready. We need to not tune ourselves, not tune our hearts to what our family says, not tune our hearts and ourselves to what our friends say, not tune our hearts to what the workplace says with all the garbage that they have to follow in workplaces and the corporate world. We're not tuning ourselves there. We're tuning ourselves to truth. And truth is in the Word. The truth is the Word. And so we need to get into our Word. We need to get into the Bible. Read every day. Pray. Connect with God. Get that tuning and let Him do the work in our hearts so that we're tuned in with Him and not tuned in with our circumstances, not tuned into the environment, not out of tune because of what people are saying about us or to us, but we can tune in with Him, who is the truth. Amen. Let's just close our eyes and lift your hands. Lift your hands today and reach out to God. We're going to reach out to God and say, Lord, be my tuner. Lord, we want to tune to you. We want your truth in our hearts. We want your truth to prevail. We want to see you in our hearts, and we want to reach out to you, Lord. Let us see where we're out of tune. Let us see the things, the beliefs that we hang on to. Let us see the things that are wrong in our thinking, in our heart, in what we give weight to, Lord. We only want you and your truth to be the guidance in our life. We want you to be the one who steers this ship and guide us, Lord, in your ways and in your will, Lord. We want to be effective for you. We want to see you move through us, and we want to see you established in my house, see you established in my workplace, see you established in my community, see you established in this country, see things turn around for your goodness and for your truth, Lord. We want to see you move. We want to see your kingdom established, Lord. Today is the day. Today is the day that it's going to change in my heart. Today is the day that I'm going to change, and I'm going to tune to your truth, Lord. I'm going to let go of the things which I've been holding on to which are not of you. I'm going to let go of the beliefs that I've held on to that my family have told me, that friends have told me, that people have spoken over me. I reject them and rebuke them right now in the name of Jesus, and we're going to stand on your truth, Lord. We're going to stand on your word. You are who you are. You are the great I am, Lord, and you're my Jehovah Jireh. You're my provider. I'm going to rely rely on you, and I'm going to sing praise to you, Lord. I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to sing like David sang. I'm going to dance like David danced. We're going to give you the glory, Lord, because you, when we partner with you, Lord, that's where there's power. That's where all things are possible. And so we want to see your power in our life, Lord. We want to see you move. And we just want to give you glory in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you've got a purpose to fulfill. You've got a purpose in my heart. You've got a purpose in each and every heart in this place, Lord. You've got a purpose to fulfill, and you want to lead your people to be effective for your purposes. And so today, we stand and we submit to your purpose, Lord. We submit to who you are and all that you've called us to be. Today is a day where we take a stand and we turn our back on those things that might have held us back. We turn our back on those strongholds and those ties that bind us and stop us and keep us in slumbering, Lord. We wake up today. We get up today. And today is the day that you have made. Today is the day that we were going to change direction and we're going to walk the way you've called us to walk. We're going to walk in the direction that you've provided for us, the door that you've opened, we're going to walk through, and we're going to be tuned to you, Lord. We're going to tune our hearts to you and your purposes. We're going to tune our hearts to what you want and what you've called us to be. And no longer are we going to slumber. No longer are we going to rest on our laurels. No longer are we going to lay down our armor. No longer are we going to lay down the sword of the Spirit, which is a double-edged sword. It cuts through, Lord, to the heart, Lord. We're no longer going to lay these things down, but we're going to pick up the armor of God. We're going to pick up the breastplate of righteousness. We're going to have a new standard in our hearts today. We're going to have a new standard of righteousness in our hearts today, because you are righteous and you are going to prevail in our hearts. No other tuning is going to be there, but only you. We're going to tune our hearts to you, Lord. We're going to put on that armor and we're going to fight the good fight, Lord, to see your victory in this place, Lord. We want to see your victory. We want to see you glorified. And we just give you praise and glory. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we give you glory and praise today, Lord. Just come right now and touch our hearts. Touch our hearts, Lord. Let your Spirit move in this place. Let your Spirit touch every heart. Let us see where you want us to walk. Let us see which string we need to tune up. Let us see which string is off. Let us see which one that is not quite in key, Lord, not quite tuned in, Lord. Show us how we need to tune our heart to be right with you, Lord. Let us see which strings we need to align with your will and align with your word. And Lord, we're going to open that word and we're going to see those words jump off the page. We're going to see you speak to us through your word, and by your Spirit, you're going to whisper in our ear and we're going to hear it. We're going to hear that still small voice and we're going to see breakthrough. This week is a week of breakthrough. We're going to see you breakthrough in our life. We're going to see you breakthrough in our hearts. We're going to see you breakthrough in every situation, every wall that's in front of us. We can leap over a wall in you, Lord Jesus. We can see that victory in every situation. And this now is the time. Now is the time that we are tuned up and we're getting up and we're standing up for you, Lord. We're taking a stand and we're going to let go of all those things which have held us back. Let go of all those things that have kept us slumbering. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We just give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope this is okay. When we were singing, I heard the word Colossians, and I sat down and I went to Colossians 3:1, but I didn't, and then